Hello and welcome to Neighbors in Business. This is the show that we have here at Community Media where we bring business people that are in our community into the studio to learn about them, but also learn about what their passion is in their occupation and how the services are here to make our community a better place to live. And today we have a really great topic, especially for the time that we're in right now with uncertainty. We have Wilbur Gordon III with us. He's from Edward Jones. And if you had a title, Wilbur, what would it be?
Just financial advisor.
The financial advisor. And you know right now with all the turmoil that we have, people are concerned. They're concerned about their finances. They're concerned about many things with the political situation that is presented to us. So Wilbur's here to help us put some stuff in perspective. Is that right, Wilbur?
Exactly.
Okay. So,
but thank you, Raymond, for having me here and everything. But it is concerning, of course, and there's no way sugarcoating it. However, there is, light at the end of the tunnel, I'd like to say. For example, the markets are in correction territory as we speak. Now, it's rebounding today as time of this recording, but remember how things were last year, where a lot of uncertainty. We were at negative 19%, so almost bear market territory. However, we did finish at the end of the year, plus 17% in the S&P 500. So it ended up being a strong year despite all the chaos that occurred last year. So there's always light, of course, but in today's market, at least one of the big things, try to caution folks, is one of the biggest mistakes folks make is, panic selling or reading too much into certain headlines and not actually seeing it between the lines. Because, of course, the markets are reacting today because someone made an announcement that things are going well. Okay, but that's in speculation. Let's see the whole picture first here before, making some long-term adjustments. However, there's always pros and cons in any situation, but I try to be a little bit more optimistic, but my goal is to be as objective as possible and, guide folks in the best direction as possible.
So financial planning is one of those elements that we really don't learn in school.
Correct.
We get prepared to go out in society, be productive citizens, and I think the reality of how to manage your resources and money being one is something that's overlooked. Mm-hmm. So before we get into this, tell us about you.
Sure. So, just like anyone, a very interesting individual. Now, some folks might say I'm a little boring because what I like to look up and stuff and read. But outside of work, what I tend to do is just watch sports, hang out with my family, and try to be as involved as possible in the community, especially in the Little League. I have a 10-year-old. He plays baseball, of course. The missus, she's actually one of his coaches. But I try to help out where I can. But outside of that, predominantly it's sports, looking up the news and the markets and just kind of helping folks out where I can. Sometimes I'll be in the office at Sundays just to have an appointment. So if that's, a convenient time for folks. But just to give that ability to be there when they need me or have that ability to kind of bring steady and calm in otherwise a very chaotic moment. I just like to help folks, essentially. That's my biggest inspiration, essentially. When you see someone that might be, really struggling, but you had that conversation, they just feel very comfortable after speaking with you. It's like, okay, thank you. I feel much better knowing that, okay, so you mean it was much worse a couple years ago and a rebound? Okay. So if I were to do this, would that be a good idea? And it's like, well, maybe. Let's look at the numbers here. Mm-hmm. But giving someone that that ability to feel like they have power or control again over something they feel like they lost control of, whether it's finances or just being, a good friend, essentially. I have folks and friends all over the country that essentially they reach out to me and say, hey, what do you think about this? It has nothing to do with finance. Or they just kind of tell me something sad in their family life. And, hey, this is what I would do if it was me. Or, or just an ear to listen. It's just being able to help folks.
So your passion is finance. When did you first realize that?
I want to say more of my teens, believe it or not. I was always, believe it or not, into like business, history primarily. And just certain guys kind of inspire me. Like you hear about like the, you know, the tycoons from the early 1900s, right? Andrew Carnegie or John D. Rockefeller. But then you hear like the inspirational situations where like Andrew Carnegie like giving away his wealth and be able to help as many people as he can. Or you see folks like that go into politics or just up-and-coming folks that made a change in the world for the better, not for self-gain or for ego purposes. It's the idea where they can create like a nonprofit or create something similar to this here, where you can kind of spread out a message of good to folks. But it's just the idea of like being able to be like a light when things seem to be dark. I don't know, I like to watch sometimes movies where you have like heroes and all that, you know, trying to do the impossible, like Rudy, for example, with Notre Dame, or Vince Papale, for example. But, you know, just like the impossible, or remember the Titans. That's where I get like a lot of inspiration. Now, these are sports, of course, but just being able to, you know, guide folks and kind of make the world a little bit better place, at least how I might have found it or something.
So did you play sports? Mm-hmm. What sports were you involved with, Wilbur?
Pretty much all of them, but football, basketball, baseball until I figured out I can't hit a baseball.
Okay.
So that was short, but that was a little league. But, I mean, primarily all of them, I mean. But football and basketball is really the big ones, track, but that was one time.
Ooh, one time of track?
Yep, javelin throw.
Okay. Well, that's a little tricky to learn how to do.
It is. You'd be surprised. Like, it's not just like throwing a baseball or a football or anything like that. It's a little bit different how like the context. Like, you push off your front foot rather than your back foot.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a unique experience.
So you were raised, were you born in Newville?
No. I actually grew up in a military family. My dad, he was Wilbur II, actually. He was in the Navy for 20 years, nuclear submarines. His dad, Wilbur I, actually, Navy.
Is that right?
Yep, but I was born in New London, Connecticut, Naval Base, and then we kind of lived all over the map. So Fort Benning, Georgia. My brothers were born in Jacksonville, Florida. My mother was, well, this is irrelevant, but from Alabama, but you kind of get the idea, like a whole world perspective, but kind of all over the map. But Newville is where I consider my hometown, predominantly because that's where I graduated high school and, you know, moved there about sixth grade. So that's where I want to say I was most formed, I guess, I was most impressionable.
Okay. That was sort of like your base right there.
Exactly.
And then you went to school to Shippensburg?
Graduated a college in Shippensburg, and that's where I kind of hit the ground running from then on with the more entrepreneurial finance perspective on things.
So you liked the history of someone who has excelled financially when you were a young kid, and them giving back to society is something that really took your heart.
Exactly.
And then at what point you went to Shippensburg, when you went to Shippensburg, did you know then you wanted to be an investor, a planner?
Partially. More, I wanted to be a business owner.
Okay.
That was a big thing. The idea of like freedom and being able to, you know, create something like, I like to build, but create something and then have folks, join with the cause and that help, you know, create something that's going to be impressionable to a lot of folks in a good way, but without being like a toxic culture like you hear in the news or anything along those lines, or, you know, terrible stories like that. But something that's like that could benefit the world or benefit, you know, just your local community, whether it could be like just donating to like a Little League, for instance, or just being an anonymous donor to the Salvation Army, just something, or any nonprofit. You know, it doesn't have to be in the news or anything, but just something where it's just benefits the greater good.
So you knew you wanted to be a business owner. You knew you wanted to work for yourself because the benefits of that you saw was that you were answerable to you.
Exactly. Yeah.
But the main thing is that you chose an occupation where everything's about servicing people and building community. But that's kind of interesting to me, Wilbur. You know, being a financial planner does not necessarily mean you're building a community where they interact, but you've come up with a way of doing that?
Indirectly. So, like, of course, we have events where, you know, client appreciation, but it's just a one-on-one. It's the idea of helping someone. Like, I had a call with a you know, a client this morning that really talked to us, she was really nervous and everything, but it's having that connection, that ability to help them out as needed and kind of educate as well too. But you can have the community, but it really depends on the person, but it's having that impact mainly, because even if it's one person or talking like to 50 people one time, as long as it helps at least one person, you know, that, not to use a finance term, but compounds after enough time, because they could tell a friend or, you know, share that with their loved ones, and, you know, maybe that advice might help change the trajectory of a family that's, you know, seem to might have trouble with finance or not understanding something. But then I was like, okay, now that makes sense. And then, you know, it kind of builds a legacy for them, or gives them a little bit nicer picture to look at things instead of looking at things with, like, the horse blinders or feeling like everything's just dark and there's no hope in the horizon. But it's just giving that inspiration, that hope.
Okay. Inspiration and hope.
Yep.
So the interesting thing is, like, we talk, what I brought forth is that, you know, this isn't something that we leave high school prepared for. Mm-hmm. And because of that, there's a lot of questions. There's a lot of anxiety if you don't feel secure enough to see how things unfold. But that's why you're here. Mm-hmm. You have that experience for how many years now?
It's about 2 years.
2 years. So for 2 years, you've been honing your craft, and you put the philosophy around creating relationships and giving calm and comfort on almost anything. Mm-hmm. I mean, for example, for me, you know, you have someone who does your taxes, that's the accountant. Mm-hmm. But is the accountant a financial planner?
Not, yes and no. So, like, indirectly, it can be to a degree. Now, they don't have the certification, they can't give, like, certain advice, but they can give you, like, the picture. So, like, a black and white aspect. Like, here's the bottom line here, and this is, you know, what's going on, essentially. Now, in my aspect here, I try to work with that accountant or CPA and kind of give everyone like an idea of how can we accomplish this? Let's get a, you know, a balance sheet. What are we spending too much money on? Are we spending too much money on Netflix? Can we live without the you know, HBO Max? Or how about we go out to eat one last night, you know, a week? So how can we make our money work harder for us, essentially, right?
Mm-hmm.
And what the tax professional, like right now is a great time with the market being down, you know, like Roth conversions. Now it's a little bit more of a complex situation for folks, but for this question here. But long story short, what I'm trying to get at is there's always a way. Like, as long as you're creative, you can build anything, essentially. Anyone's capable of anything, whether it's, you know, saving up, say, but I only got like $2 to save, you know, based on my budget, no problem. That's $2 you didn't have, you know, prior. And as long as you start somewhere, you can do anything. And like, it's like the concept, like Rome wasn't built in one day or anything. It's just, you know, the behaviors or just the constant knowledge and discipline. Like, I always use this example, like Warren Buffett. Everyone's heard of Warren Buffett, you know, one of the best investors of all time. He started with $114. Now, of course, he was 14 years old, but time is your best friend when it comes to investing and discipline. Now, a lot of things happened in between with him, you know, where he earned as much as he did, but it's just the concept of looking long-term and having certain discipline and not kind of chasing like certain momentum investments or what you see in the headlines. It's basically a hard objective facts and numbers and, okay, what's feasible, what's realistic, what can we do? And that's where it's best to get knowledge from anyone, not just me, not just from your CP, but, you know, looking into history, like Warren Buffett or Ray Dalio is another good one, or Jamie Dimon's, you know, a solid person, just to kind of listen and get ideas and think for yourself as well, too, but kind of formulate what's creative, what you feel more comfortable with.
But one of the keys is that a person's prudent, they work with their accountant, they then should have a financial planner, but when everything's said and done, they need to take the information that they're given and they need to make a decision that suits and fits their goals.
Exactly, that's the most important aspect. Because, I mean, I could say so many different things, but if it doesn't feel comfortable or they're just not in fam, no problem. Or if there's, you know, anything, the key is you want to make sure you're comfortable. You know, we're going to achieve your goals as best as possible. But if I'm not the best fit or so I might, you know, hey, might suggest someone that might be a little bit better, like a match or something that makes you feel more comfortable. Because the key, the bottom line, is the client or the individual. And the practices are in play, essentially. Like some folks are really nervous, some folks are really bullish or optimistic. So some want to be in stocks, some want to be in CDs. It's personal preference, essentially. As long as we're not going backwards and we're not doing something kind of reckless, essentially.
So discipline is a key word that you use a lot.
Exactly. That's okay. That's the big takeaway.
So, and when you meet with someone, your goal is not truly to be the person, your goal to advise them, at least directing them is advising. Mm-hmm. So your goal is to have the relationship with the individual, set goals, set a vision, and then have them interact with the individuals and organizations that will help them get there.
Exactly.
And you're saying sometimes it's not you.
Yep.
Sometimes you're directing them someplace else.
That's right.
So you would be a great place for someone to start.
Correct.
So tell me what that would be like. If someone called you up and say, hey, I'm looking, I know nothing, you know, and I need a plan. Of course, everybody should have a plan, yeah. Shouldn't they? Even if they don't have any savings right now, they would then come in and what would that look like? What would you do?
Yep, so first and foremost, you walk in and say, hey, my friend, how are you? Would you like a coffee, water?
Yeah.
You know, and then, you know, in the office. But the first step is we have a five-step approach, but step one is learning about that person, right? What's our goals? What just kind of, tell me about yourself. I could care less about the financial aspect. Let's learn about you. Let's learn about what's most important, right? So I don't want to like throw products at you like a, you know, door-to-door salesman or anything like that. The key is, you know, I walk in as a friend, you know, worst case scenario, leave as a friend. But the idea is learning more about you, learning about your family. What's your idea? We say, let's find you're rich, but what's your idea of feeling comfortable or rich, essentially? So is that being able to spend more time with friends, family? Is it being able to go on a vacation, financial security? What is it? And it's so different for so many folks. So some folks look at the world differently, and some folks are more about the ideas of, hey, I just want comfort. So it's okay. So once we learn about that, we want to learn about how do you feel when it comes to like your risk, right? So we do like a risk tolerance. So do you want to be risky? Are we all about ups and downs, or do we want to be steady, netty, and just kind of go up? Like, how are you feeling? Like, let's say the market were to drop 25% today, right? Hypothetically, how would you feel? Would you want to sell everything and just, you know, kind of take your money back, or do you want to wake up in the morning like me, excited, say, all right, it's time to buy? But how do you feel? And that's the key. And there's no right or wrong answer. It's what you personally feel is best. And it's my job to kind of tailor concepts to what makes more sense, where it's more a holistic approach, where you're comfortable, you're growing, and we're not doing anything that's outlandish. Like, let's say we made a little bit of money from dividends from the month. Let's go buy a car. No. Let's think about this before we do it. Or let's, you know, look at some ideas. Let's talk about before we make the jump. Because a lot of folks, they react emotionally, and that's why a lot of people get in trouble when it comes to, you know, investing and everything. Like these days recently when the market's taking a little bit of a steady drop and it's like, oh no, it's the end of time. It's like, well, it looks rough, but well, there's another way of looking at it. I mean, it's cheaper now, so now it's on sale.
Yeah. If so, you have the money.
Exactly.
If you don't and you have the stock, then what do you advise them to do?
Yep, so let's set up like a stop price or based on that risk tolerance. So, all right, let's get to a certain percentage where we feel, okay, we gotta make changes, no problem. So I might make a recommendation, but if you don't feel comfortable, let's switch it. Let's go to something really safe. Let's go to something that's gonna give you a little bit more comfort. And then when things start turning around, oh, you expect me to give you a phone call. Hey, all right, my friend, remember what we talked about? Mm-hmm. Then we, you know, reallocate and everything. But without getting too excited, let's talk about it here. Let's talk about the macroeconomics. Let's look at your, you know, situation at home and how's work looking and family. Do we have upcoming bills? Do we have anything that we're worried about, like school or anything like that? And make sure we're okay with that change. But we want to project it from maybe not just a week or a month or 6 months, you know, a couple years as well, too.
So you look at the person's goals and you don't advise them to invest money that they really should be holding out for the lifestyle that they're living, or maybe not just lifestyle. You know, when I talk about lifestyle, I don't mean like the rich and famous. Yet, you'll get them there.
Yeah, that's the goal.
But, you know, other than if you don't have someone like yourself, the person sitting there and they're reading or they're going on the internet and, you know, they're trying to figure it out themselves. And, you know, it's like, you know, if I get ill, mm-hmm. do I want to sit at home trying to research, trying to learn the skills, or do I want to go to a professional, a doctor who has the experience and can guide me? And, you know, again, I'm coming back to the fact that this isn't something that we're trained to do. This is something that we need to know that it's prudent mm-hmm. and self-beneficial to have a relationship with a person like you, right, Wilbur?
No, exactly. I mean, it's kind of like interesting because a lot of folks are very, you know, conscientious when it comes to money, of course, or very guarded. And I try not to come in kicking down doors or anything along those lines. What I try to do is, you know, come in as a friend, because even if you don't want to work with me, hey, at least I made a friend, you know, at least, or if you have like a question, like I get folks that email me all the time or give me, hey, what do you think about this stock? I don't know. They're not even a client of mine.
Right.
So I'll just look it up and, you know, send them information, what I think. And But it's, you know, at the end of the day, it's making friends and helping, you know, community grow as a whole and pass along information, because it's a shame in school that they don't teach like they should when it comes like balancing a checkbook or, you know, little rules like the 50-30-20 rule, where 50% of your income goes to absolute has to be paid bills like mortgages, car payments, 30% to things like going out to eat, things aren't as important, but, you know, having fun, and 20%, you know, rule of thumb should be going to savings or investing or whatnot. And they don't teach little things like that, which is a shame, but as a, you know, a financial advisor, my goal is to kind of create the complexity or have the complexity and create it to something that makes sense, essentially. So like 50, 30, 20, like, well, that's impossible. I can't do 20. Okay. You got 10? No? How about 5? All right. That's a start.
Place
then,
to start.
Yep. And then we'll tackle like, okay, what's taken away from that 20? So, all right, car payment. So let's focus on that. Let's get an emergency bucket and give it, whether it's like $100 a month, $5, it does not matter. As long as it's something, place it in something that's going to be working harder for you. And then you get that, I won't say instant gratification, but you get that little bit of a dopamine feel when you see like, oh wow, I just made an extra, you know, so-and-so dollars from an investment. That's right. And guess what? It's going to continuously and continuously. Now, if we have more, you know, and then that builds that discipline like we talked about, or that behavior. And you kind of see the lessons they try to teach on the internet, not always the best ways, but mm-hmm. the lessons and everything in real time. Now, smaller portions, but it's a start. And that's the key. Just let it go. And it's like a tree when it grows. Like you give the seed water and it, you know, takes its time. But at the end of the day, you know, you get to see the full vision, mm-hmm. essentially. And that's, you know, a beautiful tree out in the yard.
And you help people to learn financially how to nurture, how to prune
yep.
their investment and try to make decisions that doesn't have emotion in it.
Exactly, because as a fiduciary, you know, I can suggest all kinds of products under the sun, but at the end of the day, does it make sense? Is it going to benefit the individual? And that's the biggest concern when it comes to things. For example, yes, like on this side of the fence, we get paid commissions, but most of the time I tell clients, do I need to make adjustments? Heck no, you're fine. Like, what mm-hmm. if I did? It's like, well, all right, before we do that here, let's look at the pros and cons and everything else. But on the flip side, I want you to understand there is a charge here as well, too. So as long as we're okay with that, if it was me, I wouldn't make a change personally. Because mm-hmm. Things have done well for you for a long time. Why rock the boat if it's not, you know, sinking or anything? But it's the idea of being upfront and honest with folks and being as transparent as possible. And, you know, especially in this day and age in the media, because some folks just sometimes it's like, but the Donner Crooner effect, where folks that don't know anything seem to act like they know everything, and the ones that know everything seem to feel like they know nothing. But you get folks that's like on these social medias that think they know what they're talking about. It's like, my friend, what?
Yeah.
I don't know about that one. That's bold, but mm-hmm. be careful.
There's nothing like having a person that you can talk to.
Exactly.
And you're that person.
Yep.
For people financially in need. So how many times is it typical that you talk to someone a year?
Depends on the individual. Like some folks like to be one. I say my rule is at least once a year.
Okay.
Once or twice a year at least. But some folks, it's weekly. Some folks could be daily.
Okay.
But still, you know, if I can't get that phone call immediately, you know, at least 24 hours, I'll respond to you. Or like, you know, catch up to you. Hey, I saw you stopped in or called. Sorry, I was had an appointment where I was out. Just checking. How you doing? Like days like not necessarily today, but last week, like last Friday. You know, kind of going through the list and everything, just kind of giving folks like a proactive call. Say, hey, how are we feeling?
Oh,
remember we talked about this? Yep. So I just want to make sure we're okay here, right? All right. Now remember, it's your money at the end of the day. If I disagree, it does not matter. You have the final say. I want to make sure you can sleep at night. We're gonna do this here. And we'll talk it out and see what we got to do to make things better.
So you actually preempt and go out and talk to your friends, the people you serve. Cool.
Exactly.
And you're very active in the community. You sponsor sports, especially right now you're involved with the Little League.
Yep.
And you have a son that's in the Little League also. Cool. So 2 years into this. Is it what you thought it was going to be?
Yes and no. So I wasn't expected to be as wild, but it's one of the most challenging economic times, in recent memory at least, here macroeconomically. So I was not expecting the change like in terms of tariffs. I never thought we'd hear about tariffs mm-hmm. in recent times. But, here we are. So instead of complaining about it, hey, what do we got to do to help, navigate around that?
Mm-hmm.
But what's interesting about like this side of the fence here is the amount of folks that are just very nervous. I want to say about about their money and all that. Because growing up, I grew up in Newville, so it was very old school thinking. So a lot of folks were taught like, "Hey, we don't talk about money," this and that, right? Mm-hmm. So now it's like you start to really feel like a best friend or feel like a close confidant with a lot of folks when you learn about not just their money, but learning about their personal stories and understanding like the psychology of why some folks are very aggressive, why some folks are very cautious, and a lot of times it's like understanding like how they grew up or their lifestyle or what they experienced in life, and that's why you want to be careful what you suggest here for folks or how you want to approach things. Like one of the tried and true formulas for Edward Jones, like it's like a rite of passage. But when you first begin and start building your book of business, one of the biggest things they always recommend is go out door knocking. So those Saturdays, even in the snow, I've done it. But knocking on doors and everything else. Now you don't do it as a salesman, but just kind of handing out your cards, say, hey, hello, nice to meet you, and kind of learn as many names as possible and everything. And that I was not expecting initially right out of the gate, but it's just more instead of rambling so much, long story short, it's how involved in the community you end up being. And that's the beauty of it. It's not like you see on TV, like some of these movies that glorify some of these folks on Wall Street. It's actually polar opposite of that. Yes, you have to learn what they learned and everything else with the markets, but it's more so being there as a close confidant or as a friend, essentially. And that's what I find like the most fulfilling part. Just helping folks and being able to calm when things are chaotic, whether it's a death in a family or it's celebrating a new child or a new family member or someone buying that car they just been hesitant about buying but now they're retired, they got the money, like, hey, we worked on this, remember? So go enjoy that vacation or that car.
So Will, you're about creating a community around you and embracing them and being there for them mm-hmm. in the world of finance. And you, from what I hear, that is your heart's passion, helping the people become successful.
Exactly. Like, if they credit me, it doesn't have to credit me. Like, as long as see like the final product, like they're happy, things are looking good, they're prospering, or they took something beneficial away. At least just having that 1 hour conversation, or even if it's 2 or 3 hours, mm-hmm. like some appointments can be, but it's that idea they take away something that benefits them.
And they always know they can come back to you if they have a question.
Exactly.
They have a person they could talk to.
That's right.
Instead of trying to figure it out themselves.
That's right.
That's awesome. I mean, for anyone out there who calls the electric company and you get a robot, whenever you have a problem with something and you try to reach out and there's not a person to talk to, that isn't the situation with you.
No.
So where are you located?
So in Carlisle, 1 Valley Street, Carlisle, Pennsylvania.
And if people want to get a hold of you?
Yep, you can just visit our website. Of course, it's just my name, Edward Jones, or Just give us a call here. We're at 717-243-0643, or just shoot me an email, either way. Luckily, Wilbur's not the most common name in the world, so tend to pop up easily.
Especially when you're the third.
That's right.
Okay. Wilbur Gordon, the third. Wilbur, is there anything that I left out that you want people to know?
Yep, so long story short, try and true to the message, try to relay and everything. Just remember, things might be dire now, right? Inflation might be going up, gas is up, but we've seen this multiple times. I mean, things are looking reminiscent to what, the 1970s, where the energy crisis in Iran and all that, but what happened in the 80s? Things got better, the 90s things got better. So what I'm trying to say is here, long story short, things might seem dire now, but it's okay. The sun still rises on the east, sets on the west. People might be on edge, but at the heart, I think most people are good and they mean well. So what's that mean? Just stay the course. It'll be better on the other side. And if, let's say, something just doesn't make sense or something just is uncomfortable, just don't be afraid to ask any question. There's no such thing as a dumb question. You just didn't know. So, you know, just reach out, shoot an email out to somebody, say, hey, what's your thoughts on this here? Or what's your thoughts? Or, hey, I got this circumstance. What do I do here? It's like, if I don't know, at least, you know, I'll at least direct you to somebody that will know, or I'll ask that person myself. But there's a lot more good than what meets the eyes on the news networks a lot of times. So just stay the course. It'll be all right in the end.
So why should everybody have someone like you as a financial planner?
Well, it's another asset. Like, it's another tool in the belt. So even if you completely disagree with everything I say, hey, at least you have one way to look at it. Like, you just got another way or some additional information that you didn't have prior. And if, let's say, my idea or my thoughts weren't in line with what you're thinking, no problem. You can always ask or get a second opinion, just like a doctor if it's a real serious surgery, or like a mechanic. Like, I don't know if I want to spend that much money on this, so let me get a second opinion. No problem. Like, as long as you have more information, you know, the better. Now, you don't want too much information where you feel like you got analysis paralysis sometimes, but the more, the better, essentially. And someone like me can help. All right, let's get rid of the noise. Let's focus on what's most important. And bottom line here, we got this is our goal. How do we achieve it? And what's our options?
So it's a great starting point, especially your philosophy in business. And, you know, if you want to take control of your finances, a great place to start would be with a financial planner like Wilbur Gordon III with Edward Jones, who not only wants to help you with products, but mainly wants you to have a vision of where you're going and how to get there and be there as you go through life. So, Wilbur, I love the passion of your heart.
Oh, thank you.
I wish you the best success. I'm glad you're out there helping people. I think it doesn't cost anything to come in and talk to you. I think it's very prudent for someone to do that, if not with you, with someone who's a financial planner. When somebody's going to choose a financial planner, is there certain things they should be looking for?
Yep. So one of the big things is what makes you feel more comfortable, essentially. One of the biggest things is make sure they talk about fees, make sure they talk about or learn more about you than basically them trying to educate you about their products and everything. Because, I mean, long story short, in the financial sector, I mean, a lot of products, yes, they differentiate, but a lot of times, I mean, stocks is a stock, or a mutual fund is a mutual fund, but what's more important is, do you feel comfortable with this person? Do you feel like you can have like a lifelong relationship, or even, you know, long-term? Someone that that's gonna understand you and that's gonna, you know, reach out when things are tough, or remember that it's your birthday and send you out a birthday card, or remember it's your anniversary, or just small things, you know. Someone that makes you feel comfortable. And that's the most important thing, is having that trust. And luckily, Edward Jones has, you know, built that in our culture here for the last 120-some years. But you hear things in the news, you see these movies that glorify certain people, but they're not all like that. And the key is just make sure you feel like you're not talking to a salesman, you're talking to someone that genuinely cares, and that's going to go the extra mile. Whether it's meeting with you on a Sunday at 8 in the morning, or having a Zoom meeting at 8 o'clock at night, it doesn't matter. As long as they're willing to go the extra mile as a friend, because that's the biggest thing.
Mr. Gordon, thanks for making this community a better place to live. Thanks for making people feel as if their vision for their future is defined. and they have a vision, and they have a pathway of getting there. Thank you so much for making our community a better place.
Oh, thanks for having me, Raymond. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. I hope you enjoyed this segment here where we were talking about financial planning with Wilbur Gordon III, who's with Edward Jones. He's located in Carlisle, and we have your information if you'd like to start to sit down and talk to someone like Wilbur. You know, Wilbur would be a good place to start. And then again, the main thing is that you go in and you get some type of clarification with your questions so you know what to ask as you move forward. And maybe possibly build a relationship with Wilbur. So thanks for watching this segment of Neighbors in Business. Wilbur is just one example of people who have a passion to be their own boss, but in so doing, making your life better and our community better. So until we have another individual like Wilbur come in, be happy, stay healthy, and remember, you are the best.